want to look at these few verses this morning on the title, The Kingdom Come. And our first aspect I want to look at this morning is Jesus' ministry in verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. The first aspect of Christ's ministry is the beginning of his ministry. For we read in verse 12, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee." It was the casting of John into prison. From that point, in a sense, his ministry really began. He departed for Galilee and he dwelt in Capernaum. And from that time, in verse 17, Jesus began to preach. The time of leaving Nazareth and dwelling in Capernaum, he began to preach the gospel, to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John the Baptist preached that same message in Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2. "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" He was a forerunner to Jesus Christ, preparing the way for Christ's coming. And John spoke of his own ministry as one that would decrease, that would fall away, like Christ's ministry, as it started, would increase, would magnify, would flourish, and would prosper. John 3, verse 30 says, "I must decrease, but he must increase." Christ is from heaven above. He had been sent by the Father. The Father who loveth the Son, and yet he sends him into this world. He has given all things into the hand of the Son. All authority and all power have been given to him. And then in him there is salvation. That all who believe in the Son, not in John the Baptist, not in the Old Testament prophets, but all who believe in the Son whom the Father loveth, the Son whom the Father has sent, the Son in whom the Father has given all things in his hand, who believeth in him shall have everlasting life. But those who don't believe, those who reject the Son of God, those who reject the one whom the Father had sent, they shall not see life. They shall not enjoy life in all its fullness. Yes, they're alive here in the world, but for a short time. When they leave this scene of time, the wrath of God is already upon them. John 3, verses 35 and 36. So John's ministry comes to an end, comes to a close when he's put into prison. And Christ takes up the mantle, so to speak. And he goes forth, goes into all Galilee, teaching and preaching the gospel, healing all manner of sicknesses and diseases. And there are two aspects to the ministry that verse 23 tells us about. First of all, there is his teaching and his preaching. Teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel throughout all of Galilee. He's got a message. And that message is to be taken forth for all to hear. It's a simple message. It's a simple proclaiming of the gospel. And he's going out, spreading that message to all in Galilee, speaking to people, speaking to them, and telling them of the requirement of repentance and faith in him. He's going out to a people who sits in darkness, People who are in ignorance. People who are under the shadow of death. People who are without any hope. And without God. Without the light of the gospel. Without the truth of God. Without hope. And so he brings this message to them. Teaching in their synagogues. Even those who are religious. Who worship every Sabbath day in the synagogues. He's bringing a message to them. Because they need it as well. And then there's the people round about. He brings it to them. And he sets down a pattern. For us to follow even today. Of a preacher. Preaching and teaching. The gospel. We see also. In this ministry of teaching and preaching, the calling of his disciples. For they will follow him. They will be given the same message, and they will take this message out onto others. Men of humble rank, fishermen, low social condition. But he will make them to be fishers of men. Instead of going out into the Sea of Galilee and casting their nets, hoping to find the gathering a catch of fish, he will send them throughout Galilee and Judea to catch a net of men, souls of men. They are men of low social rank. He doesn't need men of high intellect. He doesn't need men of great learning. Not that these things are to be despised. After all, he called the Apostle Paul a man of great learning. But what is needed above all are men of faith. He had called them. They heard his call. And they immediately set down their nets and followed him. They were obedient to his call. They were convinced and convicted of his call. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they left them aside, their family. They were with their father, James and John, the son of Zebedee. They were in the ship with Zebedee, their father, and they left their family behind, and they followed Christ. They were called to serve him, even in the task of preaching the gospel. These men may not have been highly regarded by the intelligentsia of their world, any more than the preachers of the gospel are highly regarded by the intelligentsia of our world. But however other men may look upon them as lowly, ignorant and unlearned men, yet they were not considered unworthy. They were not disregarded by Christ. He takes them and he uses them for his purpose. Matthew 11, verses 25 to 26. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight to take humble men for such a cause as preaching the gospel that souls be saved. As we said, who did he preach to? He preached to those who lived in darkness. He preached to those who lived in ignorance of the truth. He brought the light of the gospel and the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven to them. Verse 16, the people which sat in darkness, they saw a great light. To them that sat in the region of shadow of death, light has come amongst them. He's speaking to a people who were in desperate need. They're speaking to a people who weren't even aware that they were in desperate need. They were going about their business as they do today, regardless of their soul and their state of their soul, regardless of God and their standing before God. They're quite happy to go about and enjoy themselves, get a job, earn some money, and go out and enjoy yourself. Life is short, they say. They know they will leave this scene of time. You might as well make the most of it and enjoy yourself as much as you can. They were in darkness. They were in desperate need. Death reigned. They lived in the shadow there. And Christ comes to them with the glorious message of life and light and liberty. The second aspect of his ministry is the healing of all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Many of them came to him. They were sick, they were diseased, they were possessed with devils. And Jesus healed them. He cast out the devils from them. And he healed those who were sick. Verses 24, as shame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, all sorts of illnesses, all sorts of sicknesses. And those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And he healed them. He has the power, and he demonstrated that power over nature. We can today heal some diseases, or at least alleviate them to some degree. But we don't have that power over nature that Christ had, and that he demonstrated, and that he showed his power to heal, and the power to cast out the devil. He healed with a touch. He just had the touch and he would heal. No medicine, no physiotherapy, just a touch of his hand and he could heal. Two blind men in Matthew 9, verses 27 to 31, he touched them and he received their sight. Or even by the very power of his word, he just had to speak. He didn't need to touch, he just had to speak. He calmed the storm. He rebuked the wind by the power of his word. Matthew 8, verses 23 to 27. And even the man who was sick in the palsy, he said, "Thy sins are forgiven thee, rise up and walk." And he did. He commanded the devils to leave the two men and permitted the devils to enter into a herd of swine in the country of the Gergesenes. Matthew 8, 28 and 34. He had the power just even to touch and to heal. He had the power to speak. And it was done. His miracles demonstrated his almighty divine power. They give us an illustration of his kindness and his compassion of the Lord who went about doing good. All who had come to him, he healed them. He helped them. He didn't cast any away. There's nothing here that says that some of them were healed, the rest he chased away. No, all manner of disease among all people, and he healed them. No one was turned away. He received them all whom had come to him, and he healed them. J.C. Ryle, he put it like this: he rejected no one who came to him. He refused no one, however loathsome and diseased. He had an ear to hear all, and a hand to help all, and a heart to feel for all. There is no kindness like his. His compassions fail not. Someone can come to us with a disease or an illness, and the first thing you think of is, keep your distance. He didn't do that. All who came unto him, he healed them. J.C. Ryle goes on to say, "He before whom no bodily disease proved incurable is mighty to cure every ailment of our souls. There is no broken heart he cannot heal. There is no wound of conscience he cannot cure. Fallen, crushed, bruised, plague-stricken as we all are by sin, Jesus, by his blood and spirit, can make us whole. Only let us go to him." His fame was spread right through all Syria, and they brought unto him. And notice that as they brought them. They came themselves, but they brought others as well. Maybe those sick couldn't come of their own strength and their own ability, but their loved ones brought them. And he received them. He showed compassion and love and care towards them, eased their torments, cast out the devils, and he healed them. As they came to Christ, and as they brought their loved ones to Christ, and as they brought their diseased friends to Christ, should we not do the same? Bring our loved ones to Christ. Yes, we've spoken to someone and they've rejected them, but we can do so in prayer and bring them before the Lord in prayer. That in the sickness of their minds and their soul, that God will be gracious and merciful to them and heal them. So he didn't cast any out. All who had come, all those who were sick, he healed them. That's the love and compassion of Christ the Saviour. And they saw that and they recognised that and they came to him for help. The words of J.C. Ryle are confirmed by the words of the Saviour himself when he read from the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue at Nazareth on the Sabbath day. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. There's the preaching. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. There's the healing, the preaching and the healing. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Luke 4:16-19. Quoting in Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2. And when he had sat down, he said unto those in the synagogue, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Luke 4 verse 21. So he come to preach. He come to preach the gospel. Come to bring deliverance to the brokenhearted. Come to heal the blind and set at liberty those who were bruised under the power and dominion of sin. And thirdly, the extent of his ministry. He went about all Galilee. Verse 23. And his fame spread throughout all Syria. And he brought unto him all sick people. Verse 24. And there followed him a multitude from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond Jordan. His influence, his message, his preaching reached onto all sorts of people, all areas. And they heard. They had heard of his preaching, they had heard of his healing, and they had realized their own poverty, their own blindness, their own ignorance, and they sought him out. Here was one with a message, a glorious message that I hadn't heard before. A message that I didn't realize applied to me. Didn't realize I was blind. Didn't realize I was ignorant. Didn't realize I was in such a desperate state. And so they came after him. They sought him out for healing, for light, for knowledge, for understanding, for deliverance. Mark 1 verse 39 tells he preached in their synagogues through all Galilee and cast out devils. The message went forth. He went to Galilee. The word went further and they came to him. The extent of his ministry, there's no bound to it. It's to go forth into all the ends of the earth. Then secondly, Jesus' message. Verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not a new message. The message of repentance and turning from sin unto God is not a new one. It's been preached many times before, in the centuries before John the Baptist and Christ's incarnation. When King Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the sacrifices had been made unto God, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, telling him that he had heard his prayer and that the temple was the place where he would dwell in. He would receive it as a place of sacrifice to himself. In 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, he says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." So there is that humbling. I'm coming to God, praying to him, seeking out his face, seeking his blessing, and turning from their ways, their wicked ways, repentance. "Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." God says that they live a wicked life. But he brings this message of hope that if they repent from their wicked ways and if they seek him out, it's not a matter of repenting and doing something different. It's repentance and seeking out God. "Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." They had heard the message of Christ and they sought him out and they were healed. It was the same message of John the Baptist we just read in Matthew 3 verse 2, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And now it is the message that Christ himself brings. They dwelt in darkness. What does this darkness mean? It's the darkness of being separated from God by their sin. They're ignorant of their plight. What was their plight? That the wrath of God rested upon them. God's judgment was upon them. They were without Christ. They were without hope of salvation. And when he comes amongst them, bringing this message, the preaching of the gospel, a hope of salvation. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Through repentance of sin and faith in him, there is deliverance. The kingdom of heaven is the reign and dominion of Christ on earth. He is the king. The king has arrived. His kingdom has arrived. And in this kingdom, there is salvation. In this kingdom, there is deliverance. In this kingdom, there is life evermore. Those who hear the king, those who bow down before the king, those who submit to his rule, they sit under his protection, they live by his laws, they enter into his kingdom. Repent of sin. Coming unto Christ, coming into his kingdom. What is Christ saying here? Is that the promised kingdom of God has now arrived. That kingdom that was promised before in the Old Testament has now arrived. In Isaiah 52, for example, verses 1 to 7. "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught. Ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what if I hear, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name is continually every day blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." In that day, they shall know that I am he that will speak. Who is he that's speaking? Their God who reigns. That day has come. Christ has come. He's come as a king of his kingdom, ruling and governing. That's what has actually happened. That's what Christ is saying. The kingdom has come. That promised kingdom, that kingdom that God has said would come that day, is now here. And what is this kingdom of heaven? What's it like? Well, let's look at the contrast. In verse 16, we have the people. Their present situation was darkness. They sat in darkness, in the shadow of death. They suffered illness and diseases. They were under the dominion of Satan. Bondage of sin, death, darkness, Satan's dominion. That's what their present state was. Christ's kingdom has come. What changed? The light of the gospel, dispelling the darkness of ignorance, the healing of sicknesses and diseases, and the casting out of devils. Those who were captive, set at liberty. That's what the kingdom of heaven brought to them. Darkness to light. Death to life. Bondage to liberty. Dominion of Satan to the rule of God. You can't get any starker than that. But then you may be thinking, but surely Christians today suffer illness and diseases. Some of our own congregations suffer illness and diseases. So what sense then has there been a change? Well, in the fullness of time, the fullness of the coming of the kingdom of heaven, when Christ comes again, the new heavens and new earth, there will be this radical fulfillment, this consummation of Christ's kingdom on earth. When we look at our eternal destiny in heaven, nothing will enter in to torment the people of God. Nothing will enter in to torment the people of God. In hell, nothing shall enter in to relieve the torment of those in hell. When the rich man cried on the Father Abraham to send Lazarus, and put a drop of water even on his tongue to relieve his torment, in Luke 16 verse 24. Lazarus could not come. There was a gulf. None would go from one to the other and back again. The rich man was in torment. Not even a drop of water would come to his tongue to relieve the torment. Nothing in heaven will enter in to bring torment. Nothing in hell will enter in to relieve torment. Yes, we suffer in this time for a while. Well, in heaven, there will be no need of healing, no disease in heaven. But we have that hope of eternal salvation. We have that hope of eternal life. We have that hope of the light and life and liberty in heaven. Whereas those who reject Christ, those who are outside the kingdom of heaven, they have darkness, they have death, and the dominion of Satan. So this is a foretaste of the kingdom of heaven in all its fullness that the people of God who enter in will enjoy. The removal of illness, sicknesses and diseases. And the preaching of the gospel. And the worship of God in all its purity. So there's a contrast between the kingdom of this world and the people who are living in darkness and the shadow of death, and the kingdom of heaven that Christ has brought in. Overcoming illness, sickness and disease, overcoming Satan, overcoming the bondage of sin, giving life, liberty, and light of the gospel to those who repent and enter in. What lessons then can we learn from these verses? Well, first of all, we see the continuity of the ministry. As John the Baptist's ministry decreased, it was replaced by Christ's ministry that would increase and enlarge. As John was cast into prison, his ministry came to an end, and Christ takes up the mantle to continue the gospel preaching. We see it in the Old Testament. We have Elijah. He's taken up into heaven. And Elisha takes up the mantle. The word of God will continue on. And when the sons of the prophets saw Elisha, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. 2 Kings 2, chapter 2, verse 15. We see it with the Apostle Paul. He passes on the mantle to Timothy. He charges him to preach the word in instant, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, long-suffering and doctrine. In 2 Timothy 4:2. So he's passing it on. He himself will eventually leave this scene of time, but he passes it on to Timothy. He passes it on to Titus as well. "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I have appointed thee, to maintain the ministry of the word of God." Titus 1:5. So Titus was left in Crete to maintain the gospel, and ordaining elders, that they would take on the mantle and continue on preaching the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And we see it also in Christ himself. As his earthly ministry was approaching its end, he had his disciples gathered together in the upper room. He says that he will pray to the Father. As he leaves, the Father will send them another comforter, the Spirit of truth, in his stead. He will not leave them orphans. He will not leave them comfortless. The Spirit of God shall dwell in them. John 14, verses 16 to 18. So even there is the continuity of the ministry of the gospel. You see, secondly, the message today is the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Verse 16. "People which sat in darkness saw a great light. To them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up." That's not just describing the people in Jesus' day. That describes the people today. They live in darkness. The shadow of death is upon them. And it's the task of the church to bring this message of hope, of repentance of sin. The light of the gospel, that they will turn from their sin and trust in Christ. That they will enter into the kingdom of heaven. The condition of mankind is the same. It hasn't changed over the past 2,000 years. Or even the previous 2,000 years. Man is in darkness. And only God can deliver them. Only Christ, who is the light of the world, can give light to them. And the requirements for entering into the kingdom of heaven today is the same. Repent. And turn on to Christ. Trusting in Christ. Let the light of the gospel shine in their hearts. And let them move from death to life. Thirdly, as with John the Baptist, as with the disciples, as with the Apostle Paul, as with Christ himself, the appointed means of conveying this message is through preaching. Christ went about Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. How is this message to go forth in the world today? Through preaching. The appointment of men, faithful men, learned men, but first and foremost, faithful men, to go forth and preach the gospel. So let us, as the people of God, place great value on preaching. Whether it's someone standing up in the front and preaching, or while we open the book of sermons and read it, or we listen to someone, you know, a CD or DVD or whatever, let us place great value on preaching the Word of God. Let us pray for preachers, that God would raise up preachers, faithful men of God, as Christ called Simon, Peter and Andrew, as he called John and his brother James. May he call men of himself to continue preaching the gospel. And even in our own situation, that he will raise up a man to be a minister unto us. Let us put value on preaching and pray for the Lord's enabling of preachers to carry out this great and high duty. And even Christ himself did. Lord of glory, preach. Let us not despise preaching. The very task that Christ has done, let us regard it highly and follow in Christ's example. Fourthly, the wisdom and goodness of God in providing a time and a place for the people of God to avail of the means of grace, to sit under the preaching of the Word of God. Jesus went about this Galilee teaching in their synagogues. They had a place where they gathered together, and they had the time, the Sabbath day, when they gathered together. And God has provided a place and sets aside a time for the Word of God to be preached. And Christ preached in the synagogues on the Sabbath day. Let us value not just preaching, but the time that God has set aside for that preaching, and the place that he has given to us that we may gather together to sit under the preaching of God's word. The wisdom and goodness of God in providing a time and a place to sit under the preaching of the Word of God. Fifthly, the greatest need of sinners is to hear this message of the preaching of the kingdom of heaven. The people sat in darkness. They sat in the shadow of death. They were in desperate need. And the only thing that could deliver them was the preaching of the kingdom of heaven. The greatest need today is for sinners is the same, that they hear the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would repent of their sins and enter into salvation through faith in Christ. That's the greatest need. Not so much the healing of all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease, important and good as that is, but the greatest need is that they hear the preaching of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And sixthly and finally, the mercy, the grace and the loving kindness of God in drawing so many people from so many diverse backgrounds onto the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached in all of Galilee, but his fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people, and there followed after him a great multitude of people from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond Jordan. He's gathering his people onto Christ. From various nationalities, from various backgrounds, rich and poor, healthy and sick, young and old, the gospel is to go forward to everyone. There is no one, no group of people that we can say, no, the gospel isn't to go to them. No one is to be despised and denied the gospel. No one is to be rejected and cast out if they come seeking the gospel. He didn't cast any out. He didn't despise any. They heard his word. They heard of his fame. They heard of his preaching. They heard of the wondrous works that he was doing. And the Spirit of God drew them onto Christ. So let us not think that there's any that can be despised or rejected or cast off from hearing the gospel. In the mercy and grace and loving kindness of God, he drew them. And let us not go against that. Let us show forth, we who are born again of the Spirit of God, let us show forth the mercy of God and the grace of God and the loving kindness of God in our own hearts, that we will gladly bring all in and receive all who come through the door, that they may be blessed through the preaching of the Word of God, that they too may indeed repent and enter in to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless this short study for his glory and honor. Amen. We turn to our psalters for